In Mark 10, verse 17, it says, as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him, before Jesus, and he asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I believe just like this man, there's lots of people out there in the world that are wanting eternal life. They're looking, you know, what is it? What's the answer? How do I receive this eternal life? And this young man came to Jesus asking the very question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Sometimes that scripture confuses people, but I think what Jesus is really saying is, if you call me good, then receive me as God. I'm not just a teacher. The only good one is God. And if you call me good, see me as God, the Almighty, the Messiah. Because his name was, for Jesus, was Good Teacher. And Jesus is trying to show him, I'm greater than that. I'm Yahweh. "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your father and mother." You know, there's 10 of those commandments, and Jesus referred to 6 of them here. 6 of them that had to do with man's relationship to man. 4 of the commandments have to do with man's relationship to God. And Jesus focused on those ones that had to do with our relationship with one another. Don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, etc. But he didn't really speak about the ones related to our relationship to God. He left those out. And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." You know, it's possible to be a religious person, to have even a heart for God, like this young man did. You know, there was something in his conscience that moved him to want to be obedient to these commandments. He was, you know, I mean, he was probably, we might look at him today as, well, there's a good Christian man over there. "These I have kept from my youth." But Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I love this scripture. It gives you a little bit of an insight into the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. That here was a man who wanted eternal life. He was a man that had a heart for God to some degree. He was trying to keep the commandments. And yet, he was not willing to go all the way to follow Jesus. We'll see that. I know you know the story. He was kind of in with a toe in the water, but he wasn't ready to jump in all the way. But I love this, that Jesus loved him. And I tell you what, when we go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's amazing how many people we run into that are just like this. They have some semblance of religion, some heart for God, some desire for eternal life. But when Jesus calls them and says, "Come and follow me," there is a resistance. There's something about following Jesus that brings fear in the hearts of people. And I think even in the churches, men and women of God like us, following Jesus can be a scary proposition. But Jesus loved him. He loved him and he said to him, "You lack one thing. You've done a lot of good things in your life, but there's one thing that's missing. Go and sell all that you have and then give to the poor. And you have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. What was Jesus really pointing to here? I mean, does Jesus want us all to sell all of our stuff, give our money away? Is that what he's asking? No, what he's doing is he's zeroing in on the one thing in this young boy's life that keeps him from making Jesus first. And for so many people, it may be just one thing. It's one thing. I talked to a guy just last week. Where do you want to be? I want eternal life. What's keeping you back? I like my beer. Okay, that's your choice. It's hard to imagine that there's something that we want in life more than Jesus. Once you've experienced him, you know that's true, but before you take that step, it's a fearful thing to say, I'm going to be all in for Jesus. I want to follow him. To call myself a follower of Jesus means that I've let go of something. Jesus is asking this guy to really fulfill the first four commandments, which is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. No other gods before me. He did all the other ones, but the Lord wasn't first in his life. He wanted eternal life, but he didn't want to follow. He wanted eternal life, but he didn't want to let go of the very thing that kept him from it. And so somehow there's a disconnect between our desire to follow Jesus, our desire to be all in for him, and just not being willing to let go of that one thing, whatever it is in your life. And I'm praying this morning that if there's one thing in your life today, the Lord will just show you what it is. What's the one thing that he would say to you? Hey, you know what? Come and follow me, and here's the thing that's holding you back. What did Jesus say here would happen if he went and gave everything he had to the poor? He was a rich young man, if you read some of the other parallel stories in the other Gospels. He was a rich man. He had a lot. And Jesus said to go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. And what did he say? You will have treasure in heaven. I'm telling you that there's nothing that you could ever give up or deny yourself of on this earth to be a follower of Jesus that he won't give back to you more than you could ever imagine. There's a treasure in heaven. For whatever reason, that treasure did not motivate this young boy. You know, he wanted eternal life. He wanted everything that Jesus stood for and offered, but there was just something he wasn't willing to let go of. The Bible says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That seems almost like an oxymoron to me. Take away the story, just take the story out of the picture here, and if someone came to you and said, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions, doesn't that sound weird? You would think a person would say, he went away with great joy because he had great possessions. No, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Somehow they owned him. He wasn't able to let go. There was something he yearned for, something of eternal value, something that was a greater treasure than what he could ever achieve on the earth. But he's like, I can't let go of this. I can't let go of this. I want what you have, but I can't let go of this. And Jesus is saying, you can't follow me. And so this boy went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I think in his heart, the reason why he went away sorrowful, I think in his heart he knew he was forfeiting something of great value, but he just didn't have the wherewithal to let go. I was thinking this morning about this message, and I you know what came to my mind was a picture of a trapeze artist. You know, if you're going to be on a trapeze, to be successful, you have to let go. You know, there's a swing that's coming your way, and you're on this one over here, and you're swinging that way, and it's just out of reach. I mean, it's almost like if I could stretch far enough, maybe I can grab that other thing there and not have to let go of my safety net here. But no, it's the nature of that game or that exercise, whatever you want to call it, is that you have to let go. But I'm telling you, when you let go, it's almost like there's this element of faith and trust, and in a way, an abandon. You're leaving the security blanket. And you're saying, I'm putting my trust now into the guy that's over there hanging upside down with his arms out. He's saying, jump! And you let go. But for many, many people, it's just that letting go is too big of a step. They would rather hang on for this safety, security, what they're familiar to, instead of just letting go and following. And that's what happened to this young man here. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, you find in the Bible different reasons people follow Jesus. Matthew 4:23 kind of gives an example. He was going through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel, the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. I mean, if all that stuff was happening, don't you think it would cause people to want to come? And the fact is, it says his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him, the sick, those afflicted, various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. And the Bible says great crowds followed him. You know, when Jesus became popular because of all that he was doing, great crowds began to follow him. But there was another time later in his ministry when those crowds left him. They followed, but it was for the wrong motive, a different reason. His fame was there. Or maybe it was because of all the good things he could do. There was something that attracted people to Jesus. But Jesus set a high bar for following him. One time he stood up and he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part in me. And the Bible says that many of his disciples walked away. They said, this is too difficult of a saying, we cannot take it. And Jesus didn't lower the bar. He didn't say, oh, wait, I didn't mean that. Please come back. He turned to the 12 and said, how about you guys? And they said, Lord, where can we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. We are in. We're all in. And how many of you know Peter and James and John, if you read about them in the Bible, you know they didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about either. But they had a relationship with him that said, we may not understand, but Lord, where else? We know there's no place else to go. And so we're in. In John 6, verse 2, a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. You know, it was just an amazing thing that was happening. And praise God. I mean, all these people's lives were being touched by Jesus, and crowds began to come and follow him. But I think of the other crowd that I'm not preaching about it today, or I don't have the scripture for it, but when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on the donkey, all the crowds were there shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And just a week later, they were shouting, crucify him. You know, would you call those followers? No, they followed for a time. They followed, they were caught up in the excitement. They followed because of what Jesus was delivering to them. They followed because of the fame. They followed because there was some buzz going on about him. But when it really came down to where the rubber hits the road, there was a price. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. There is a denial. There is a letting go. There is something that has to be given up to follow him. And you might say, well, I thought we're saved by grace. We are saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith. But I'm telling you, you will never endure the following of Jesus when you're hanging on to those things in life. And he tells us to let him go. You know, when I think about taking up the cross daily to follow him, I think what he's talking about there, just an opinion, is when Jesus took up the cross, he said, I came to do the will of the Father. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Yet, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And I think the denial he's calling us to do is to say that, Lord, I want your will above everything. I want to pick up the cross. Not my will, but yours. To be a follower. To wake up every day saying, today I want to follow you, Jesus. I don't know what that's going to even look like, but as you speak to me, as you guide me, as you show me, I'll let go of whatever it is to follow you. I'll let go. Sometimes it is material wealth like this man. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's, it could be a whole gamut of things that keep us from just taking that final step to let go of the trapeze and find ourselves being caught by the man on the other side. In Matthew 4, verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Now, to be honest with you, this was, in a way, no different than what Jesus called this rich man to. Let something go. They really couldn't follow Jesus the way he wanted and be a fisherman. Leave your net. And they left them and they followed him. And Jesus had a purpose for their life, to be a fisher of men. He was calling them to something, not just to follow him, but to a purpose. He linked his calling to a purpose, and that was to become a fisher of men. What would you do if you were engaged in some kind of activity like this and Jesus came walking down the shore and says, hey, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men? What was it that caused Peter and John and then down below James and John, Peter and Andrew and James and John, what caused these men to take the risk? What was it that caused them to say, you know what, I'm going to let go of the trapeze and grab over here? It was a step of faith, it was a step of trust, but it was because Jesus was calling. Somehow they put their confidence and their trust in Jesus. I have something I want for you. I'm going to make you something. Come and follow me and I will make you something. You know, it's in the future. Maybe you look at it as a pie in the sky. I don't know how people would look at that, but these men, for whatever reason, the challenge of Jesus Christ, the bar that he set, moved them to say yes. And every one of us are going to have to say yes or no to the calling of Jesus. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. And I like the fact that Jesus sets a high bar. because it lets us sort out our own hearts, whether we're willing to pay the price. Sometimes it's a price of family rejection. There are people in Muslim countries that are giving their hearts to Jesus. They are becoming followers of Jesus, and their families disown them, sometimes execute them. That's a price. Somehow this calling of Jesus pierced their soul so deeply, they said, you know what? Whatever the consequence, I'm going to follow him. And they let go, and they fall into the hands of Jesus, and they suffer the consequence of it. But I love that Jesus doesn't lower the bar for anybody. He just says, hey, here's what it is. This is what it means to follow me. You got to choose. It's a yes or no. Jesus didn't chase the rich young ruler around. He loved him. He loved him deeply. But this man walked away disheartened because he had great wealth. And for all practical purposes, he was saying to Jesus, you know what, I want what you have to offer, but I'm not willing to pay the price. My final scripture is found in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. How many of you know that words are cheap? It's easy to say that. But Jesus came back with this. He didn't come back and say, oh, that's awesome, man. There's one more. Put him down in the book. One more follower. But Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What's he saying to this guy? I think what he's saying is, if you want to follow me, but I'm not offering you anything in this world. What's your motivation? Well, I'll follow you if I get a job. I'll follow you if things work out with me and my wife. I'll follow you if you heal my grandmother. I'll follow you if, and we put these conditions, and the Lord doesn't deal this way. He just says, follow me. And Jesus let this man know, look, I have nothing, I have nowhere to even lay my head. There's nothing here I have to give you in terms of creature comforts. If you want to follow me, follow me, but don't make a deal. Verse 59, to another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That doesn't seem like the Jesus you might think of, does it? The Sunday school Jesus. What's he saying here? I think he's saying, look at your priorities. You know, it was a custom. My understanding is there was a custom that if a child grew up in a Jewish home, that he would wait until the father died. And it could be a year, it could be 5 years. It wasn't like this guy was dead, go bury him. But there was this priority of like, I got to take care of my father over here. And Jesus is saying, look, let the dead bury the dead. You are alive. You're alive in God. There is a purpose for you. What did he say his purpose was? You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You're alive. This is why I've called you. I've called you to follow me that I can make you a fisher of men. Let the dead bury the dead. All the priorities we have in life, anybody can do them. But I wonder, there's only some priorities in life that only the people of God can do. And so he's setting up priorities for this man. What would you do if Jesus said to you today, follow me, and you said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father, and he said, let the dead bury their own dead. Go and proclaim the kingdom. What would you say to Jesus? I mean, I think that rankles some people. We don't like to hear that, but these are the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible, these are red letters. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He's radical. And he calls for radical followers. And then, verse 61, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. You know what? This guy here, after hearing the other two guys, I don't think I would have ever asked that question. There was a little bit of a disconnect there. Hey, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go back and say farewell to those. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, he calls for this commitment, this follow through. Not in and out. Don't put your hand to the plow today and give up next month. Put your hand to the plow and see it to the end. So I love that Jesus places such a high bar on what it means to be a follower. And God forbid that we as a church or you and me as God's people would ever lower it. That we would expect anything less of a person. That we would point them to the words and the teachings of Jesus about what it truly means to follow him. Because anything less than that won't get the job done in the end. I would like you to stand with me if you would, and we're going to pray. And I'd like you to think about, is there one thing in your life that keeps you from being all in, an all-in follower of Jesus? You know, let the Lord tell you what it is. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life, but let the Lord speak to you. Say, Lord, you know what? I feel like I want to follow you, but at times I feel like I'm just stuck over here somewhere and I'm not really all in. Yeah, I love you. I'm trying to keep the commandments. I'm doing all that, but I don't know. There's something missing in my following. Well, ask him what it is. What is it, Lord? What's just the one thing you would say to me? Maybe it's our motivations. I'm going back to the scriptures we just read in Luke. Maybe it's our motivations. Maybe it's our priorities. Maybe it's our commitments. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I can tell you this, that there is no greater joy that can take place in your life than when you finally let go of that trapeze ring. When you let go of it and you say, you know what, I'm going to just take a leap of faith. I'm going to trust that when I let go, I'm going to fly through the air for a while. It's going to seem like everything's out of control, but these hands are going to reach out and get me. And I'll tell you, there's no greater joy than that. I remember when I was a boy, I was 6 years old, and I was at the YMCA learning how to swim. And I was always sort of a daredevil type person. You know, if you dare me to do something, I would do it. And my cousin dared me to jump off in the deep end. I didn't know how to swim yet, but I said, okay. I had a plan. I was going to go up and come to the edge of the diving board, and I would jump over to the edge. And then I could reach up and grab the side and come out. So I walked up on the board, and I still, in my mind, this is as vivid as if I'm standing right here. I jumped off the board, and I still remember the beads of water, how cold it felt as I was flying through the air. And I'm aiming to go to the side. I probably made it like 4 feet. I'm not sure how far it was, but I went into the water, and I went down, and I felt myself coming up, and I couldn't get my head above the water. I could feel my arms, like maybe from here, up above the water, flailing around, but I couldn't get my head above to get any air. And I'm starting to freak out. And it's like I'm having this feeling inside, like you have to get oxygen. I wanted to suck it in, and then the other part of me was saying, no, don't do it, you'll die. And I, you know how they say your life flashes in front of you? I mean, I was 6 years old. Mine was like, boom. All I could see was like this picture of a newspaper article, like, boy dies at the Y or something like that. You know, I just saw this picture. I said, oh, my goodness, you know. And I'm flailing around. And all of a sudden, as I was ready to take in a gulp of water, I felt these two hands. It lifted me out. And it was the lifeguard. And I tell you what, there was nothing ever in my life. I can't tell you how awesome that was, how good it felt to have those hands there. And that's just the way it is for Jesus. He just wants us to jump. Be willing to step out of the boat, so to speak, let go of the trapeze, and say, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Because he will be there. He will never leave us or forsake us. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we don't want to be followers like those who just followed you because of the fame. We don't want to follow you just like those who follow because of some blessing you gave them. We want to follow you because you're the Lord God Almighty. We want to follow you because you are the King of Kings. There's no one worthy of our allegiance but you. No one worthy of our obedience but you, Lord Jesus. And there are so many things that entangle us that we hold on to that keep us from just, I don't know, being all in for you, Lord. I pray whatever it is that we hold in our hand, point it out to us. And I pray that each one of us would be willing to take that risk. Not like that rich young ruler who wanted it so bad but was unwilling. Let us be willing to go sell all we have and receive that treasure that you have in exchange. I ask you for this, Father, for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody said, amen.